Wednesday morning before Shavuos. So let's talk a little about Kabbalah Sattar. V'yishyatsu b'sachta sohar. Lam shekofalem har kegigas. The Rosh Hashanah picked up the mountain, held it over their head like a barrel. He said, "Im atam kavu masatara muta v'im lav yisham take for aschem achzur asa oilem l'tayu v'avoyu." It's not Starbucks. So Taisus asks a kasha, which really Medrash Tanchuma asks, that why did the Rebbeinu Shlomo have to hold a mountain over their heads and force them Kabbalah Satara? They already said Nasa v'Nishma. That's Taisus' kasha on the Gemara and Shabbos. But really, it's a Medrash Tanchuma asks a kasha. So the Medrash says that Nasa v'Nishma was on Tarisha Bichsav and Kofalim HaKegigis was for Tarish Baal Peh. Tarish Baal Peh is more difficult. They didn't say Nasa V'Nishma on that. That's what Medrash seems to say. Tarish says another Tarish that when they saw the Eish HaGedoyla, and so then they would have changed their minds, they would have withdrawn Nasa V'Nishma. Anyway, the morale has a lot of problems with Tarish's Tarish. So it has to be Mazbe Tarish, it's Mazbe the Medrash also, but basically the gist of what the morale says is as follows, that says Chas V'Shalom to say that they took back or they would have taken back Nasa V'Nishma. They meant that they said it. They meant it 100%. They would not have taken it back. However, Nasa V'Nishma is a Kabbalah Berotzin. It means that they accepted the Torah willingly, and they would have it based on their willingness to accept it. He says that the Kabbalah of Torah has to be according to what the Metzias of Torah is. It says the Metzias of Torah is Hechrechi. The Metzias of Torah is that it has to be. There can't be that there's no Kabbalah Sattara. It's not the pshat that there's really a choice. We could be Mekabel Torah or not. If we're Mekabel Torah, fine. If we're not Mekabel Torah, also fine. Whereas we can exist with Torah, we can exist without Torah, just we decided that we're better off with Torah, so we accepted it. That's what it would have been if Nasa V'Nishma was the end, if there was no Kofalim HaKegigas. So Kabbalah Sattara would have been based on their Kabbalah Berotzin, which means that we would have Torah, the world would have Torah. Kabbalah Sattara would have taken place only because we decided to accept it. We decided that we're better off with Torah than without Torah. He says the Metzias of Torah is not like that. The Metzias of Torah is that there can't be a world existing without Torah. Like it says that as well, Bereishis Bara Lakim Mishfil Atarish and Akarishis created the world for Torah, which I think means not only that that was the purpose of his creating the world, it means that's the Metzias of Bria Sa'olam, Kabbalah Sattara. Like it says, Yom HaShishi Rashi says that the whole world was Toli Va'oimed until Shishi B'Sivan to see if Klai Yisrael would be Mekabel Atarish. It means that the whole Bria Sa'olam was hanging in the balance, pending Kabbalah Sattara. If there will be no Kabbalah Sattara, then the whole Bria is Lemafreya. That's the pshat. Achzer sa'olam l'tayu v'avayu. It's not the pshat that I'm just going to, it's like a punishment. It means that the whole tachlis of Bria, the whole metzias of Bria is for Kabbalah Sattara. As a matter of fact, it says, we say ki lo'olam chastai 26 times in Shabbos. Why? Because that's the 26 dayrais before Kabbalah Sattara, that the world lived with chesed, that the world didn't really justify its own existence before Kabbalah Sattara. That's what it means, Bereishis Bara Elokim Mishvil HaTorah Shenek Bereishis, that without Torah there is no Metzias, there is no Bria Sa'olam. So the whole Bria was Toli Va'omed until then. It means if there's no Kabbalah Sattara, then Lamafreya, there really was never a Bria. The whole Bria was nothing. So that's what it means, Achzer Sa'olam L'Tayu V'Avayu. So therefore, Kabbalah Sattara cannot happen just because we decided that we'll take it. Because that would mean that the whole metzias of the fact that we have Torah is not dependent on the existence of the world. It means it just depends on because we wanted it. And if we didn't want it, it would also be okay. Can't be. We have to have Torah according to what the metzias of Torah. The metzias of Torah is echreichi. That's what Maral says. We'll explain a little bit more, but that's what he says. And therefore, we said Nasa Venishma, and we never changed our minds. We never would have changed our minds. That's the great chutz of Klal Yisrael, that the Malachim say, Migila Raza, Hashem says, Migila Raza Albonai, that's what the Malachim and Mishtamshim, they don't have Bechira, and they say Nasa Venishma. And that's the tremendous chutz of Klal Yisrael, that's in Nasa Venishma. That's chutz remains. But Kabbalah Satar can't be totally in Nasa Venishma. It has to be Hechrefi. The shal is like this, right? Shtar Kakasha, I think. By Purim, I think the same Gemara in Shabbat says that the Gemara says Mikan Maidor Rabba L'Raisa. There was a tremendous excuse for all the Dairois who were Makabal Taira based on Kofalem Hakagiga. So there's a tremendous excuse because we never agreed to it, even though we agreed to it. But he didn't give it to us based on our agreement. He gave it to us based on Kofalem Hakagiga. So there's an excuse for not being Mekayim the Torah, some kind of an excuse. Until B'meach HaShveirosh, when they said Kimu V'Kiblu, as Kimu Mashi Kiblu Kfar, then they were Mekabel HaBerotzen. Until then, it was based on Kofalem HaKagigas, and on Purim, they were Mekabel HaBerotzen. And after that, there was no more Meidor Rabba L'Raisa, there was no more excuse. So, the Pell is like this. According to Tosfos, that Nasa V'Nishma was based on them not realizing, not thinking that there was going to be an Eisha Gedola, and they would have changed their minds, or according to what the Medrash seems to be saying, that Nasa V'Nishma was on Tari Shebechsar, but they needed Kofal HaMakigigis on Tari Shebalpeh. So according to that, okay, there was, they needed a new Kabbalah V'Rotzen. Then you had, not so going to touch, it seemed like they would have taken it back. They didn't really know what they were getting into when they said Nasa Benishma. So therefore they had to be forced. So now, Purim, whatever the pshat is, why they reached the new Madrega now, that now they really wanted to brought some with a full understanding, let's say. Okay. To understand what happened Purim, that brought them to a Madrega, higher than our Sinai, that now they were really ready for Kabbalah Baratza. The coin to that morale is Masber, that it's not that they weren't Mekabal Tar Barotzim. They said Nasa Benishma, I was 100% Barotzim. Except, they can't have Tar Barotzim. Kabbalah Satar can't be based on your Rotzim. Even if you have Rotzim, even if you want to be Mekabal Barotzim, Kabbalah Satar cannot be based on your Rotzim. It has to be Hefer. And therefore, we have the Torah not based on our willing acceptance of Torah. We have the Torah based on the fact that Hashem imposed us. But even though we were willing to take it, but it's the difference between drawing up a contract and I'm obligated because I obligated myself. No. You're imposing it on me. Right? If you impose it on me, it has different... But I can't now... Well, I obligated myself because of this or because of that. Now maybe I can change. No. It's not based on your acceptance at all. If somebody on the outside has ability to impose it, so now it's imposed. Now you have it because he doesn't impose it. It's not up to you. Well, it's not up to you. So that's what it is. So that's the pshat. That it's not that we didn't want to be Mekabla Barotzim, but he refused to give it to us on that basis. And he only gave it to us on the basis of Hechlach, not on the basis of our Barotzim, even though we really were totally Mekabla Barotzim. Then what is possible to change? How could that ever change? How could it be that Hora Kiblu B'Meach HaShverish, now they're Mekabla Barotzim? Without even getting into what changed on Purim, like what brought them to a new Madrega. It's not Shaykh new Madrega. The whole Yisrael according to the morale is that Kabbalah Satar has to be Hefech. It can't be Rotzen. There was no lack of Rotzen on their part, but Kabbalah Satar can't be Rotzen. It has to be Hefech. We can't, our obligation in Kabbalah Satar can't be based on our willingness to accept. It has to be based on the imposition of the Ribbono Shel Olam being Machriachas, him forcing it on us. Even if we wanted it, but he forces it on us anyway. Means it's imposed on us from the outside. We're not obligated because we obligated ourselves. He imposed it on us. So if that's the way Kabbalah Satar has to be, then what happened for him? What's it possible to, how is that possible to change? If that's the Yisoid of Kabbalah Satar, it can't be Berotzen, then So what do you mean Hara Kibbalah B'Mechash B'Yash? Then was Baratzen. It was Baratzen before also. But we can't have a Baratzen. It has to be Hechach. So now Purim time, it doesn't have to be Hechach anymore. That's a Yisrael that can't change. That's a Metzias of Torah. So what's the Meral talking about? How did you read the Gemara? How's it possible the Gemara could say Hara Kibbalah B'Mechash B'Yash? That's no more Meidor Rabbal Arayis, because now it's Baratzen. It's not Shach Baratzen. It was Baratzen then also. But Kabbalah Satar can't be Baratzen. So what could change? So, without getting into the Purim Torah part of it very much, I think the bottom line is like this. It says that when a Molech came, right, so Rashi says, it brings a Chazal, a Moshel, that what did Klal Yisrael say right before Molech came? He said, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im oyev. Is Hashem here in our midst or not? So Rashi brings Chazal, says the Moshel to a father carrying his child on his shoulders. And every once in a while the child sees something on the ground. He says, Abba, pick that up for me, give it to me. The father bends down with his child on his shoulders, gives it to him. It happens a few times. Every time he wants something, the father bends down, gives it to him. Father's carrying the child, is giving him whatever he needs. Then the child sees a person, and he says to the person, Eifo Abba, did you see my father? While he's still sitting on his father's shoulders. And the father says, what? You don't know where I am? I'm going to put you down. He puts him down, and along comes a dog and bites him. Then he turns around and he calls for his father. Then he remembers his father was there. So too, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is carrying us in the Inani HaKavod. He's giving us Mon. He's giving us the Be'er Miriam. We have everything we could possibly want. And we say, Hayesh Hashem Kebeinu Ma'oyim. I'm going to put you down and you're going to get bitten. Put him down and then I'm all I can. And then we cry back to Hashem. So what do you see? Probably what it's telling us is that not only could a person, in spite of the fact that he's being completely taken care of by somebody, so totally take it for granted that he forgets even that there's a person taking care of him, because everything's just coming. But that's the way it works. That's what happens. The more somebody does for you without expecting anything in return, the more likely, the less need we have for Hakaras HaTov. Anyway, there's a tremendous drive not to have Hakaras HaTov, because Hakaras HaTov obligates us. So somebody's doing for me in such a way that I could totally ignore the person and like make believe that it's all happening by itself, or it's even better if I can figure out how I'm doing it. So tremendous yetzer hara to do that. That's what happened. While the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is carrying us, so to speak, and giving us everything, so is he here? So he gets rid of us. He puts us down. Of Yachal, then a Molech. So what does that mean? That means that while the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was doing everything for us, we imagined that we don't need him. Like, listen, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, right now I'm fine. If I need you, I'll call you. Right now I have everything I need. Food comes down from Shemayim every day, right? Have the Be'er traveling along with us in the Midbar. They have these clouds protecting us from the weather. Our clothes are growing with us. Everything's clean, everything. So you know what, Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Right now, I don't need you. I have everything I need. If I need you, I'll call you. That's basically what it's saying. Hayesh Hashem Kabeinu. They don't know. Is Rebbeinu Shel Olam here? Like, when we need him, is he here for us? You know? Why can we? Because I have everything I need. So what do I need the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for? I have everything I need. If something comes up, I'll call him if I need it. Which means that we understood that even though, I mean, any person with a brain knows that the mon came from him and the bear comes from him, the Ananya cup comes from him, the understanding is okay. He gave us all of that. But now he set that all in motion. He set up a system and now everything is already taken care of. So we don't need anything anymore. We don't need him. Everything is already taking place. Thank you very much. We appreciate your setting it up all for us. But now we don't need you. Now everything is taken care of. We're fine by ourselves. Which means that, understood, it's possible, once he gives us everything, especially while he's giving us everything, it's possible for us to make the mistake and think that we don't need him. That we have everything we need, we don't need him anymore. To make the mistake that we can talk a bee, we can exist without him. not to understand that everything we're getting is constantly being given to us by him. If I care, he gave us, everything is set up, now we don't need him anymore. That's for sure. That's... Now, when can a person make that mistake? When does a person make that mistake? When he has what he needs or when he doesn't have what he needs? Only when you have. When you don't have what you need, and you can't provide it for yourself, and you can't get it from anywhere, so what do? Now, what's the expression? There's no atheist in a foxhole. It's an old Israeli expression. I just translated. I hope the Americans understand. I just translated that. It doesn't translate so well. In the middle of a war, right, people are being shot at, and they have nothing to do, then everybody davens. Everybody davens. At that point, everybody believes. When I get to the point where I know, which means that everybody really knows that there's something, that there's a bunch of them, there's something bigger than them. That there's the Yetzer Hara to not believe that, or at least that he's not here, I don't need him. Once I get to a point where I know that I can't take care of myself and nobody else can help me, I have no choice. I have to turn to the bunch of them. As long as I have what I need, even though it's coming right from him, I can talk myself into believing that, no, it's not coming from him. I'm okay, I have everything I need, I don't need him. At Har Sinai, when they were given everything, they had the luxury of believing that, Baruch Hashem, I don't need you. Thank you very much for setting up. Right? You know, you like the chosen. You know, yours, he has like, you know, I don't know what they used to be, $50,000, probably it's $500,000 in the bank already. You know, I don't need the shvara, I got the money ready. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, if when the money runs out, I will come for Pesach. You know, but until then, what do I need my shvara for? I have the money. So that's the feeling. You know, I have everything I need. What do I need him for? When the money runs out, when you're at the end of your rope and you have nothing, no place to turn, turn to the Rebbe Shlomo. That's what happened Purim time. Purim, and there's a gzer, lahashman l'arga l'abed, and they had no hatzolah, they were totally given over into Haman's hands, and they had no place to turn, they turned back to the Rebbe Shlomo. So Purim time was the first time they had the hasaga, absolutely, that we cannot exist without the Rebbe Shlomo. Until then, they always thought, you know, however, okay, but we're still okay. We still can manage. At Har Sinai, when they had everything they could possibly want, is he here or not? I don't need to feel that he's here as long as I have everything I want, even though it's coming from him. Fuck it. I'd rather feel that he's not here. When I need him, when I finally realize that I can't exist without him, that's when I have to be makir the emes, that I really, really need him. At Har Sinai, when they could feel, when they had whatever they needed, they had the luxury of feeling that I don't need the Rebbeinu Shlomo. I can take care of myself with everything that he gave me. Then you can make a mistake and think it's possible to exist without him, without an ongoing kesher to him. Purim time, that illusion was totally taken away from them. Purim time, they understood that it's no such thing. You can't exist without him. You can't exist without him. That means Purim time, they recognized Lamafreya also, that by Kabbalah Satara, they never could have existed without him. But till Purim, they didn't know it. It comes out like this. This is what I think the Maral is saying. By Har Sinai, they said Nasa V'Nishma. But Nasa V'Nishma, if you take a look at Rashi and the Gemara, Nasa V'Nishma does not mean that we understand, we have to listen, and therefore we don't have to understand. Nasa V'Nishma means we know that Rabbi Shalom loves us, and he wouldn't give us anything that we couldn't do. He wouldn't give us anything that's not good for us. It means the same. Not that we don't think there's a choice, but we trust him. We know that he means for our good, and therefore if he says, whatever he's going to give us, I don't even have to know what it is, I don't have to understand it. I'm willing to take it from him, I'm willing to be mekabel, because I know he means for my good. That's what Nasa V'Nishma was. That was Kabbalah. That was the Kabbalah Baratzin over there. I'll take it because I believe it's good for me. Not because I don't think there's a choice. There is a choice. Fakert. There's a choice. Hayesh Hashem Kabbalah Baratzin. I believe there's a choice. I think I'm existing without him. I think I might actually be existing without him right now. So, when you think there's a choice, then if you're Makabalah Baratzin, what Baratzin means, what that Kabbalah Baratzin means is that if I have it, I have it because I want it. Because I decided I'm better with it than without it. But I could exist without it too. That cannot be the basis of Kabbalah Satara. Torah has to be the Hetzach, like Maral says. But the problem is because you understand that there's the possibility to have it or to not have it. If you understand that there's a choice, then you can't have it based on your choosing to be that you're better off with it. Because then the whole yesod of Kabbalah Satara and the whole yesod of the relationship with the Rabbani Shalom is, I could exist without you, but I think I'm better off with you because you'll give me more than I'll give you. So it's a good deal. It's a good business deal. So I'll take the deal. It's worth it. That cannot be the yesod of Kabbalah Satara and our relationship with the Rabbani Shalom. It's based on a whole sheker. It's based on a sheker. My understanding that I could exist without the Rabbani Shalom. If I think I could exist without him, that is then the whole yesod of our relationship with him is totally, the whole yesod of the relationship with the world is totally skewed. That's called man, I think there's a choice. What happens when I find out there is no choice? When I find out there is no choice. Purim time, we find out there's no choice. Found out there's no choice. So now, I understand that I don't have a choice. I understand that the choice is not I'll live better, I'll live worse. Which way do I think is better? It's a choice between to exist or not to exist. It's a choice between existing and Tohu V'Vohu. Choice between existing and Shalom Teik V'Raska. Now that I understand that I can't exist without the Rabbani Shalom, and there's no such thing as existing without him, not only from now on, I understand that there was never a choice, there was never any other possibility. And that when he was giving me everything, it was only because he was giving it to me. Another thing is he sets up a system and then he's mystolic. He goes, no. The whole thing is a constant infusion from him and a constant relationship with him and a constant giving from him. At Purim time, he understood that. L'mafreya. So now, if we want the Torah, from a Kabbalah Baratzim, what does that mean? It means we want the Torah not because we think we'll be better off with it than without it. We want the Torah because we want to exist. Because we understand that there's no choice. We understand that Kabbalah Satara means to exist. Natri Mekabal Torah means Tohu V'Vohu. That's what they understood Purim. Harsina, they didn't understand that. That's clear. So the chisorin of a Kabbalah B'Rotzen is where Rotzen and Hechrach do not mean the same thing. Where Rotzen means there's a choice. Maybe yes, maybe no. Then there has to be Hechrach. There has to be Kofal and Hakiyigas. But once I understand that my desire to be Mekabal Torah is not the pshat, that it's the better choice of two valid choices, but it's a desire to exist. It's a desire to be, that this is the tachlis of the world, and there is no validity to the world. There's Tohu V'Vohu. Once I understand that, so now when I'm a Kabbalah B'Rotzen, Rotzen and Hechuch are now the same thing. Now I understand that there really is no choice, and I want Torah because I understand that there's no choice, therefore I want it. So that's Taka Kabbalah Barotzen. Now there's no Mador Rabbalai Raisa. Now it's not the pshat that, well, you didn't give it, you didn't let me obligate myself, you just imposed it. Now I am obligating myself because now I recognize that the imposition is not just the Rabbani Shalom arbitrarily deciding to oppose it. The imposition is that you can't exist without it. And I recognize that, now I want it. So at that point, Kabbalah Barotzen and Hechuch become the same thing. Now there can be a Kabbalah Barotzen. There can't be a Kabbalah Barotzen if Rotzen and Hechach mean two different things. If Rotzen means two choices, there can't be. But if Rotzen means I'm choosing to exist, because I understand that the it's either exist or don't exist, that's the choice, which is no choice. Once I understand that, then the Taka can be a Kabbalah Barotzen. Then I can be Mechayiv myself with the Hakara that that there is no choice, that it is Hechach, like the Maral says, it's Mineu Bei Mechach. It's not, it, by our Sinai, they thought the Hechach was because the Baruch Shalom forced them, he imposed them. That's what created the Hechach. At Purim, they understood that what creates the Hechach is the Metzias. The Metzias of Torah creates. Torah creates its own Hechach. Without Torah, there can't be existence. So Hechach is the Metzias. It's not an imposition. It's what it is. Just recognize the Metzias. So now, Kabbalah Barotzen means I recognize the Metzias and Avada. That's what I want. I want existence. So that's what they realized. But that realization goes to Mefrayim. Now we understand that it was always that way. So now it reinfuses Nasa Venishna, which not only means that I understand you mean for my good, therefore I want it. I understand that there was never any other possibility. What do you mean for my good? But we didn't realize how much he meant for our good. He's giving us something without which we can't exist. And that's what you're giving me. Of course I want that. Now, Lamafreyo understands Nasa Venishna too. So now, well, they were Kabbalah Latayra, they didn't have this Hasog yet, because they weren't at that point to be able to be Nasik. We have now the benefit. We go back to Shavuos, but we have the benefit of Purim also. We have the benefit of the Hoda Kiblu Bimei HaShverish too. So when we come to Kabbalah Satar and Shavuos, we have the Nasa V'Nishma and the Kafal and Hakagigas. We understand that the Kafal and Hakagigas really is Nichlal in Nasa V'Nishma. We understand that when we say Nasa V'Nishma, we said Nasa V'Nishma, what that really means is we understand there is no choice. We don't have to know it's there because there's no choice. We can't exist without it. There is no existence. There's no world. There's no Bria. There's no nothing without it. So of course we want it. So we talk about it. So we can have a Kabbalah Barotz and Saman Shavuos also. Because no, that's the Nasa V'Nishma now is coiled the later Kabbalah of 4 and 2. The bottom line is what this means is that there really is no... Same way it was true then. It was true at Hasina, which they didn't recognize it yet. And they finally understood it on Purim. That's the Metzias. The Metzias is that Torah is Muchlech, which means that we don't exist without Torah. We can't exist. Not only the world as a whole doesn't exist. Each person, to the extent that we have a Keshet to Torah, to that extent we exist. To the extent we don't, we don't. We're living a life of Mamish Havel Havolim. Havel Havolim. And in each, what that means for B'nai Torah, B'nai Yeshiva, the practical level is that the years that we have in yeshiva, before whatever everybody else is going to do with the rest of his life, but you have to understand, it's not the pshat that I have my learning years, I have my earning, or whatever, I have my, okay, I'm in yeshiva as long as I'm in yeshiva, and then, okay, some people will remain in the chinuch, some people will stay in kollel, and some people are going to go out in business. No. There's no some people and some people. Everybody who's in yeshiva has to understand that being a mentor means that Torah is muchlech. There's no such thing as a life without Torah. Practically what that means is you have to use our time in yeshiva to really learn how to learn. To learn, become a Talmid Chacham. Each person according to his ability, but to really spend your time in yeshiva learning how to learn. Can't go through life. Look, I know people that learn every day their whole lives. Maybe go to a Daf Yomi share their whole lives. Some people do that and never really learn. The people who sit in the Daf Yomi Shiva for 30, 40 years and never learn how to make a Lanyan and a Gemara. That's an unbelievable mile that a person keeps on going and listens. I don't know if a person's not sleeping to them, but the person is listening. But, okay, some people can't. But there are people who can, but they never understood that they have to take the achrayas to learn how to learn, to make it a part of you and to break your head over it. Never understood that. That's what a Ben Yeshiva has to understand. In yeshiva, each person, again, according to his own abilities, you have to learn how to learn. You have to take responsibility for your own learning. Realize that it has to be part of your life for the rest of your life. Not even talking about how much a day you're going to learn the rest of your life, or you're going to go to a shiur, all that's important. But you have to become the bialim of your own learning. You have to be responsible for your own learning. You have to learn how to learn and take responsibility for it. The point where your whole life you understand that whatever else you do, whatever else you do, you're a klekaitis, you're a bala boss, you're teaching, you're in business, you're a professional, whatever it is, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. But you understand that your real metzias is a ben Torah who learns. Your real metzias is in kavei itim, takes on a whole different meaning. It doesn't mean that I spend a certain amount of time a day learning, which is very, very chashuv. It means that's my metzias. That's why I understand my whole metzias sachaim really derives from my learning. Whatever else I do, my learning is really the most important thing. And if you don't learn how to learn, take achrayis for your learning. Another practical thing that means is that you're learning. What's learning? Mekiyas learning. Ian. Art scrolls are very good for what they're intended for and who they're intended for. For a person who can't learn on his own, art scroll is very good. But whether a person's in yeshiva, out of yeshiva, bentar, balabas, whatever it is, if you take a chavis for your own learning, then you use it to help what you can't do yourself. But it's possible to sit and learn with an art scroll for hours every day and learn a mesechta, and you don't really, and you go back, you can't read it without the English. Can't read it. How is that possible? Because you're sitting and not taking a chrayis for your learning. You're getting the information, but you're not learning. You're not understanding the words, you're not understanding the phrase, you're not breaking your head over getting it. You're not, you have to. If you want to use it, you can use it as a reference. But to sit, again, unless a particular person really doesn't have the ability, and you know, there's what to talk about on an individual basis. But generally, it's much better to sit and break your head over it and figure out the words, go look up a word, go ask somebody a word or a phrase, So how you learn, I'll learn. You have to get proficient in the Lashonis of the Gemara, the words. Artscroll and any other aids are just aids to learning. But if that becomes the replacement for taking a chrayis for your own learning, then you come out of yeshiva. If you don't have that when you come out of yeshiva, your whole life is going to be different. The whole life has to be based around Torah, whatever else you do, and you have a real sense of what life is all about if you do that. And if you don't, so Mezit Shem coming to Kabbalah Satara, you should all be makabel now, leading up to Kabbalah Satara, and on Shavuot certainly, with the Hasaga that Nasa V'Nishma now means the Hechrach, it's Rotz and Hechrach together. You have to understand that Torah is what life is all about, what existence is all about, and that means we have to be responsible for our own Torah and our own learning, and really make it, we have to get into our kishkas, we have to really make ourselves the bialim over our Torah. And then your whole life is pushed different.